I just want to read one word from Deuteronomy, chapter 7, from verse 6 to the first part of verse 8. Deuteronomy 7, from verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath, it is a very wonderful word. Sometimes we cannot understand why God chooses one people and leaves out all the other people for the time being. But God chose a people in order to foreshadow the plan of salvation, in order to announce, to be able to give the promises, in order to be able to establish his testimony on earth, to then, when the time comes, and when God reconciles mankind with himself, to then include all peoples in this reconciliation. Please, be careful to agree with God in everything. If he takes himself Abraham, then he knows why he did not take Nahor or Tara. He took Abraham, and then the whole thing started. But here, it is specifically about the fact that the Lord chose a people to make his testimony known on earth. If he had taken many nations, he would have had great hardships with all of them, with everything. But in this way, he took one people, and with the one people, he still had enough worries and hardships to be able, as I just said, to announce the promises and in general the whole plan of salvation in advance, until it then found its realization in Christ. And what is written in Psalms 2 and could find fulfillment in many other scriptures: ask of me, and I will give thee the ends of the earth for thy reward, and go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every nation, to every creature. But God had to make some kind of beginning, and this he did. What stands out to me here is that he said, not because you were more in number than other nations, but because the Lord loved you and wanted to keep the oath he had made. Exactly the same applies to the called out church. Believe me, God has a small remnant just to make history in the plan of salvation afterwards. Whoever would think that we would be the only ones to go to heaven is mistaken. God will have many whom he will take into glory. But just as God used Brother Branham to have a local church to bring the messages, So God has arranged it here that they can be passed on, that they can be spread. But ultimately, the Lord will bring in a great harvest. And I still have to think of this morning, of the comparison when Brother Branham saw this vision in 1933. He saw one tree and there was the word Trinity, and the other tree and there was the word Oneness, but both were full of fruit. Sometimes we can be quick to judge and say, they are wrong, let them go. No, there is a difference between false teaching and the people who are still caught up in these denominations. And you simply have to distinguish between the two. Just think about it. If there had been no Wycliffe in England and no Hus in Czechoslovakia who went to him, and not others in Rotterdam and here with us and in Switzerland, then we would all still have been Catholics today. And what would that be? You have to see the ways God has taken to bring us to where we are today. Would there have been no Erasmus in Rotterdam, no Zwingli in Switzerland, no Melanchthon and Luther here? Where would we all have been? God has taken individuals to put biblical truths upon the lampstand, to then put enlightenment for many upon the lampstand. And for that too, we are very grateful to the Lord. Look, Brother Branham did not look upon others with contempt. I can still think of the very old gentleman, Brother Bosworth, whom he loved dearly, and I can remember Karlsruhe. The man held, believe it or not, the afternoon meetings and spoke mainly about the third person in the Trinity, about the Holy Spirit. During William Branham's meetings, this man made it clear to us how important the third person of the Godhead is, namely the Holy Spirit, who works all in all. Yes, he didn't know any better. And Brother Branham said, listen to this now, Brother Branham, you heard it in the testimony. Brother Branham said, when this man went home with over 80 years, this Brother Bosworth, the relatives could not greet him anymore. He just shook hands and there was no one in the room. And when he was asked, he said, but I see all those whom I laid to the Lord and I greet them already. I'm going over now. We just have to leave everything to God. We must pillory the systems for what they are. Be it the World Council of Churches, be it the Church of Rome, but woe unto us if we judge Protestants or Catholics. We must not do that. No one of us. They are people who have been born into this world, into a certain faith or superstition or tradition, and God will still call out a rich harvest. You can count on that. Our attitude towards people must always be good and positive. Otherwise, we cannot help them. Just imagine, once I even spoke in a big Methodist conference in northern India. There are a few million Methodists from the time of John Wesley. That was the heyday. The English Empire took over about 50 countries and 3/4 of the earth at that time. And wherever it was, there were also the people who were under that empire. But I have been able to preach the gospel in love. And that was even a day when I preached about the biblical baptism in the name of Jesus Christ in this big conference. And I also thought that every moment could be the last. Then even the film of William Branham has been shown in this conference hall filled with over 3,000 people at the end of the meeting. You have to distinguish, as I just said, that God chooses people. And remember Brother Branham, he says, my parents are of Irish descent and both were Catholic. They didn't go to church. What became of him? God put his hand on him. Yes, one has to recognize, if God has already opened our eyes and our hearts, then it is because he loved us, because he had something in mind for us. And I'm grateful to God for all of you. But let us remain sober, not looking down on any person in any church, but appreciating and respecting them all to see if God will still call some out. Now, this was just for our introduction. Maybe we'll sing some chorus, and then we will ask Brother Kupfer and the two brothers to come to the front now. We are very grateful to the Lord for the reports. I have already said it this morning. The call is getting louder and louder for brothers to be in these countries and to remain independent by the grace of God so that they can really pass on the truth as truth. There is a scripture, I believe, in Kings. There the woman said, now I know that God's word in your mouth is true. The word of God is God's word. But just look what has been made out of it. More than 300 different denominations in the World Council of Churches. And if you wanted to ask there, then everybody has their own opinion about God's Word. The Word of God must be the same truth as it was when the prophets spoke it. And I have already noticed that with the brothers. They have no ambitions of their own to become something or to be something or to draw disciples after them. They have one desire, and that is to carry the revealed word. And may God grant grace to do so. When I think of how many brethren are disappointed because I could not come, and there is a popular saying, one man, one way, I cannot be everywhere. And especially as far as the French-speaking countries are concerned, I am heartily grateful to God for the ministry of Brother Barrier and for the ministry of our brothers. For the word of the Lord must run. And I think also now of Galatians 2, there Paul says, not for 1 hour where we left in subjection, that the gospel might stand in its truth. Maybe I should read it to you. What really matters is not only to preach, not only that the brothers preach the word, but that it is preached in accordance with the word of God. Galatians chapter 2, from verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Beloved, when we go out and when there are certain biblical questions, I have already briefly hinted at this morning, arising about some things and concepts, then we cannot help but say what God's Word has said. And there is no human being who has the right to go beyond the content of the Holy Scriptures. Such a right does not come from God. God has not forgotten anything. He had everything written that we needed to know and that was necessary for a proclamation. And if in conclusion God will still do by grace above all that we can think of and ask for in the full restoration, then let us thank Him from the bottom of our hearts. But as far as proclamation is concerned, then the limits are here. These two lids form the barrier to the right and to the left. It does not go beyond that. God has really said everything. It is only important that we understand it and that we remain in the Word. As our Lord said, "If my words abide in you, and you abide in me." And whoever goes beyond the Scripture does not have God. He does not have God. That's how it is written in the letter of John. So we stay within the Scriptures and leave the rest to God. What moves me because of the word that was read is this. God had chosen Israel and had very great trouble with the very people He had chosen, and after 40 years had to say, very sorrowfully He had to say, "But they did not know my ways." And then He had to say again, "Did you offer burnt offerings to me in the wilderness?" And then He says, "No, ye offered them not unto me." It is not only that we speak of election or of having found grace before God, but the question goes further. It penetrates deeper. Does God delight in us? Is He pleased with us? Is what we do pleasing to the Lord? Is it done, as our beloved brother read, for His glory? Is it done according to His word? These are all questions that move us. If we read Acts 7, from which we have already read today, then read even further. And whoever reads all the verses from verse 30 to verse 43, will first be joyful and thankful. But then comes the great sadness. The longer you read there, especially from verse 39, but let me for encouragement, yes, maybe we read from 39 first, and then come back to verse 30. It says here, "To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust Him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt." This was about Moses, the prophet appointed and sent by God to deliver the word to them. But their rebellion against Moses was rebellion against God. Their refusal to hear what He said was a refusal to hear what God had said. You can all read along here, maybe even in verse 35. Here it says, "This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. You all know that was one of the main promises. And then it says, Whoever does not hear this prophet, his soul will be destroyed. It didn't say, Whoever doesn't listen to Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but whoever does not hear this prophet, when God reveals himself in human form, when he becomes the Son of Man and does the prophetic ministry on earth, according to the scripture, in ancient times, God spoke through the prophets. At the end of days, he has spoken in his Son. And therefore, all who listen to him will live. Whoever does not believe in him and does not listen to him cannot live forever. But Moses was the most perfect type on Christ in that respect. As for the prophets, it was not Isaiah, that mighty prophet with his 66 chapters, who wrote the whole plan of salvation, who said, A prophet like unto me. But it was Moses. What had happened? The plan of salvation was foreshadowed. There was a people who were God's people, and this people was in bondage, and Moses was sent to lead them out with God's help, and so on. It was the same in the New Testament. The people of God were lost, enslaved in sin. They had to be ransomed. And the Lord came to us and did that. But this afternoon is about something quite different, about a thorough self-examination to which we must all submit from the first to the last. It goes on to say here, in verse 40, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. 2 or 3 days ago, I was again listening to the film of Brother Branham, and I wanted to translate it into German on a video cassette. And suddenly Brother Wim says, If there is still an idol in your heart, put it out. And he says, It can be a car, it can be a house, it can be anything. If there is something like that, that takes the first place, put it out. Put it out. We sometimes think of idols, that there are such figures somewhere in distant countries. The whole nation is afflicted with such things, and we must be vigilant that nothing, but really nothing, comes between us and God, and certainly not to provoke him to jealousy. God is a jealous God. He wants to have all of us, body, soul, and spirit. And not only that, he wants that what is done according to his word, so that it will be to his glory. Let me read on here, in verse 41. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Yes, that can also happen. It can happen to a missionary. It can happen to anyone that they say, look, this came about through my work, and so on. And then a thing becomes an idol. That must never happen. I have sometimes wondered why God has allowed certain things to happen. But he knows all things. Someone said to me recently, when we were in the cradle, we were not sung the song of all the things we would encounter in life. And thank God that we don't know it. But one thing has remained in our hearts: to be something to the praise of his glorious name. That the church should now not be you in you and I in me looking favorable on ourselves, but that God could look favorably on us, that we as God's work would be something that he could look at and say, this is very good. He did it at the beginning of creation. He looked at everything and said, it is very good what he has created, and the same shall be with us. While Moses was still on the mountain and heard, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Aaron was already shaping the gold down there and made the things ready. And when Moses came down, the thing was ready. He heard much rejoicing and thought, now it is a great shout of victory. God will have done great things. And when he came closer and then saw what was going on, then he noticed the dance around the golden calf and got into such a rage that he smashed the tablets on which all this was written and was just stunned and took the big hammer and smashed the thing and put the dust, what did he do, into the water. I don't even remember. I didn't read it yesterday. In any case, there was great need among the people. And beloved, we must think of ourselves today. What happened to William Branham? Some have said, he is the Word. Others, he is the Son of Man, this or that. And God didn't like that. And the same thing, we have to be very careful when anybody says, servant of the Lord, fine, but keep it to yourselves. I don't want anything else to spread. It must not be. All honor is due to the Lord alone. And it is written, when we have done all that the Lord has commanded us, then say, we are useless or miserable servants. I mean this with all my heart. If there was one among those whom God called to preach his word, I cannot deny it. Neither do I wish to, for there is no reason for that. A calling is a calling, and God cannot repent of it. God cannot take it back. But we must be careful. You all know the book of Acts. When God did great things by the hands, I think of the two apostles, they wanted to offer sacrifices to them and said, gods have taken on human form. I think it was not 24 hours later that Paul was stoned outside the city. People have not changed yet. The spirit of idolatry creeps in very quickly, and that must not be. It is solely about the cause of God, not about the person who stands by the cause of God. Of course, we don't need your contempt, but we deserve to be heard. For the Holy Scripture says, "He who hears you, hears me, and he who receives you, receives me." Everything is correct, but then the barrier is already set. Then it goes down, and that's where it has to stay. If that's not the case, you all know, we also had a time here when we didn't wait for the sermon, but for that, what would come after the sermon. It seemed as if God didn't speak at all the whole time, but would only begin after the sermon was over. And what happened? People have simply been lifted up too high, and people are people, and God sees to it that we are brought back down to earth, even it is by the skin of our teeth, that He brings us back down to earth. For that too, we are grateful to God from the bottom of our hearts. But here it says even more, verse 42, and that grieves me very much. You all know, I have never been a moral preacher, and probably also not a judicial preacher, but here is really something written that we need to take to heart. Verse 42, then God turned away from them and gave them over. Then God turned away from them and gave them over. When you read, and God turned to them, then there is joy. Then it is something uplifting, something joyful. But when you read that God turned away from them, then you could cry. When God turns away from a person, from a church, from His people, what is left then? An outward form of godliness and the business we do ourselves. That is all that remains. But when God turns to us, things change. Then comes new life. Then comes love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Here God has turned away from His chosen people, and the reason comes straight away. Then God turned away from them and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Did you offer the sacrifices to me? God wanted sacrifices. They were biblical. But the heart of the people had long been in the midst of idolatry and not in worshipping God. Did you understand that? And God turned His back on them. Sure, He still fed them. He gave them water. And then later says, 40 years I was grieved with this people. Just imagine, still feeding them with manna, still giving them drink from the rock. It was about a plan of salvation. If God had let Israel fall completely, He would have had to drop His plan, and He couldn't. Beloved brothers and sisters, the same is our condition. God would have dropped us sometimes if it wasn't for God's plan of salvation, if it wasn't for a work of God, and a plan of God that we have become a part of, God would have dropped us and would have said, go your own way. But God can't. God can't. He has to go through, whether he likes it or not, until the consummation comes. Sacrifices were offered, but to whom was sacrificed? The heart was far away. Obedience was not there. Faith was not there. Who was being served? Who was being sacrificed to? And then in verse 43 is the answer. Before that, the question was, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness, ye of the house of Israel? No. No. Ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. What was it? There remained God's people, but the wrath of God was upon them. No joy. It was, as I just said, the church of the Lord. The plan of salvation had to go on. And therefore, hear the backstory. And God did not give up. He carried. He then always had a remnant. Those who simply remained faithful in the midst of the falling away, in the midst of the turning away from him. And our brother read it or said it, that we are not to sacrifice to the Lord any animals that have a blemish. I don't know if it came out that way through the translation. Didn't I read it here recently from Leviticus? The animal was not to have any blemish that was sacrificed to God, to make the sacrificer free from all blemishes, so that the sacrificer would be pleasing and perfect to God. Therefore, the sacrificial animal also had to be perfect. And what was it? If you read other scriptures, what did they take from the flock? The lame, the sick, and they sacrificed it to the Lord. What did God want with it? One could see that the reverence, everything has been lost. Only the outward form of worship was left. Yes, how was it in the days of our Lord? What did he find on earth? Much religious activity. Yes, that was going on mightily, to and fro. And what did he say? My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. He had some things to say when he was on earth. And then he took the way up to the Mount of Olives and looked back over Jerusalem and wept and said, how often would I have gathered you together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. It is something glorious to know, to be chosen, something wonderful to know, to belong to the people of God. But there is more to it. If anyone thinks I am chosen, and then still goes his own way, and so on, it doesn't work like that. Disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft, and self-will like idolatry. Here people have enforced their disobedience. They enforced their self-will, and the whole thing was no longer worshipping God. The whole thing was idolatry. Can it be any different today? When we as human beings impose our will, where is the will of God in that? Yes, what should happen? What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, I said it earlier, I am not a man. I probably don't have the heart for it. God has given us Brother Rus to do that. A man with a backbone. A man who is not considerate. Who can just say that when it comes to admonition and rebuke, as probably no one else has been able to do. But when we read such scriptures, what shall we say about them? Nothing. Take them to heart and ask, Almighty God, how do we stand before you? How do I stand before you? Where is my standing? How do you classify me? How do you see us as a church? That is the question today. We would like God to do great things. Yes, why not? He will do it. Does it take any effort for him to do something great? God doesn't need to arise at all. He only needs to see a people on earth among whom he can do great things, who believe him, obey him, follow him, serve him, and then already great things happen. The power of God is effective after all. I believe that we could use this afternoon hour to examine ourselves before the Lord. Really examine ourselves from the heart and say, Lord, thank you that you have chosen us. Thank you for sending us the prophet. Thank you for the message that you have given us. Thank you for everything. There is a whole list that could be enumerated. But now we are challenged. You all know the Lord appeared to Moses as an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire. He spoke and said, take off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. A divine commission, a divine sending. But the people would not listen. They went astray with their hearts, also with their feet, in their bodies. They followed the pillar of fire. When it rose, they also rose. But where were their hearts? Where was obedience? Where was the agreement with God? How many also say in these days, yes, God has appeared in the pillar of fire. Thanks be to him for that. We believe that too, but that is not enough. God wants, when he rises, and then we rise too, then he wants to bless, then he wants to go forward with us, not in a rebellion. I don't think we have people in our midst who would have an inner rebellion towards God. I don't believe that at all. But it could be that there are still certain things that are not pleasing to God, so that he cannot work in our midst as he would like. And I include myself in that and say from my heart, O God, let me know what I have to put aside, what I have to do, to be pleasing to you with my whole life, to serve you. Look, here they have sacrificed for 40 years. And again the question, to whom did they sacrifice? They sacrificed to idols. It was not worship, it was idolatry. They sacrificed to Moloch and the star of Refan, and even carried these things with them. They carried these idols with them. Just imagine that. I experienced that once. Doesn't quite fit here, but I will say it anyway. I once helped an old lady move. She was very arch-Catholic. And suddenly she said, but this thing here, I will carry it myself, and I shouldn't touch it. And then there was such a thing, some kind of metal, and that was the Christopher. I don't know what its function is among the Catholics. In any case, I'm not supposed to touch it. She wanted to carry it because I was a Protestant. This Christopher she wanted to carry, and I thought by myself, oh my goodness, that's the thing. But just imagine, even among the people of Israel, God's people, who have just been told, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods beside me, and so forth. Neither make any graven image of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and worship them not, nor serve them, and so on. The first commandment is the longest commandment, isn't it? Or haven't you noticed that yet? The first commandment is the longest commandment, because that is what matters, that the beginning is right. If the beginning is not right, how can the end be right? And here, this chosen people, Israel, they were chosen for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as I said earlier, God made history in the plan of salvation and has carried the people in gentle patience. Moses already said, if you abandon this people, all the other nations will say that you were not able to lead your course. And God is able to lead his course. But he wants a faithful remnant. Recently, a beloved brother asked me, it is probably written in Revelation that the Lord will come with his faithful and beloved and saints. In any case, there are three things listed. I don't have the scripture in the moment. And then he wanted to divide who then are the faithful and who are the saints and so on. I said, beloved brother, the faithful are the saints and the saints are the faithful and so on. What shall we divide? Let us be all that is written, and then we shall make up the multitude spoken of. Beloved, not dividing and classifying, but becoming what God has destined us to be. And that is what we've put upon the lampstand here this morning. God wanted people, sons and daughters, who have his nature, who by the new birth have the divine nature and life in them, and that we only wait for the completion, that is, the transformation of our bodies, and then appear in the image of the Lord. God will help us. He will be with us. How many have also been blessed by this word that we have now looked at? I believe all of us. We simply have the desire, O God, come to your right. Do what is good in your sight. Our will be your will. And there is a scripture, whoever loves anything more than me is not worthy of me. Let us return to the first love, really the cause of God, the Lord, and all that concerns him and is connected with what he is doing now. Let us put it first. And then his blessing will rest with us. Woe to us if he should be angry. Good to us if he can turn to us again in grace and blessing. That is what we all want. And we also ask him to give us grace now when we go into prayer, to just say everything to him and lay it down before him, so that he can clean up in our hearts, in our lives, in the church as a whole, so that he can have joy among his own and feel at home in our midst. The blood speaks for us. We all believe that. The blood of the Lamb speaks for us. Jesus Christ is still high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Otherwise, he would have had to change often. But you all know who Melchizedek was and is. He had no beginning and no end, no father, no mother, no ancestors. He was the Lord himself, King of Salem, King of Peace, Lord of Glory. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood also speaks for us today. Let us not come downcast. in humility, yes, and self-examination, but still in confidence. Maybe I may say this briefly. It must be as it is with those who want to experience divine healing. They cannot just come and say, Lord, you know that I'm sick and so on, and heal me. It must come to the point that the faith somehow sparks in their hearts, that inspiration comes and becomes clear to them through revelation. He bore my sickness. He bore my pains. He was wounded for our transgressions. The sick person must receive such a revelation of faith that it is a finished work, and only then can healing come to him. It is the same with us. We come to the front and we notice and recognize all our needs and all our shortcomings, all transgressions, all guilt, all sin, in fact everything. And we come so bowed down and humble as it can be. But deep in our heart, something tells us, I have taken all this from you. I have given reconciliation. I have shed my blood. I take you as you are. Forgiveness and grace has been given to you. When we pray, please don't get stuck halfway, but penetrate by the grace of God and begin to give thanks that the Lord has given grace and somehow attracts us as people who want, who are willing, as we sing in a song, look, we want, Lord, you know, walk only according to your Spirit. We want. And if we haven't always succeeded, we tell it to the Lord. But please don't stop, but go forward with the Lord. He will make all things well. He who has begun, he will finish. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen.